Lord God, I thank you for your word. Thank you that we can hold it in our hands this morning, that we can read it, we can understand it, we can have it in our own language. I do pray that your Spirit would help us to understand it. I'm reminded that after your resurrection, you were with your disciples, and the Scripture says they were filled with joy and amazement. And then it says that Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do for the disciples here what you did for the disciples there, that you would open our minds that we might understand your word. So ask your blessing on the proclamation of this gospel this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, being the third Sunday of Advent, I would like to spend some time talking about joy this morning. You hear that word a lot this year, and in addition to several other Christmassy words, but joy is certainly one of them, and for good reason. And even in a year like 2020, believers in Jesus always have a reason for joy, even great joy. And so before we go any further, I'm curious how you would define this little three-letter word. How would you define it? You don't have to say it out loud, but think to yourself, how would you define the word joy? Took me a minute, but I ended up landing on this definition. It's the emotion of great delight. The emotion of great gladness, you could say. It's both a human emotion and, interestingly, it's a divine emotion. You'll find in the Scriptures that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all exhibit joy. Of course, joy is the fruit of the Spirit that grows in the life of believers, and as you look throughout the Scriptures, you'll find it almost from Genesis to Revelation. Actually, the last reference to joy shows up in the book of Jude. There's plenty of references to joy in the account of Jesus' birth. And so, have a little challenge for you today, or in the coming week, as you sit around a table, maybe with family or friends, I'd encourage you to try to challenge one another, to look at each other and say the word joy 10 times without putting a smile on your face. I don't think you can do it. It's one of those words that as you say it, the more you say it, somehow the corners of your mouth turn up. Yes, Devin, that's for sure. So, before you get too distracted with thinking about how funny that would be to sit around with your family and do that, I do want to encourage you to open up to Luke chapter 2. That's where we're going to be, where we're going to this morning read one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Some of the story of the birth of Christ. And as you turn there, remember last week, or 2 weeks ago actually, we looked at Isaiah's prophecy and it pointed us to hope in Christ. Last week we looked at Micah's prophecy, which pointed us to peace in Christ. And this morning in the book of Luke, we're going to see the joy of Christ, specifically the joy of the shepherds as they respond to the declaration of the angels that appeared there in the field that night near Bethlehem. We'll actually look at this same passage, Luke 2, 8 through 20. We'll look at this same passage next week, but from a slightly different angle. But for today, I want to just really zero in on the joy of the shepherds. And so last week, I read the first five verses of Luke chapter 2. It's famous verses, and you're probably you may be able to quote them with me. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And so we know that Mary and Joseph traveled from Nazareth down to Bethlehem in order to comply with the Roman request. And then verses 6 and 7, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And while that was going on, this other story unfolds that Luke tells us about. It's there in, starts in verse 8. So for today, as we read this, I'd encourage you to see if you can see and hear what brought joy to these shepherds, what brought joy to their ears, even great joy. So verses 8 through 14, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." It's important to know that in those days, shepherds were at the bottom of the social totem pole. They were social outcasts, sort of like tax collectors. They were looked down upon by the religious leaders and were considered unclean. Now, that may have been because they spent all their time out in the fields with the sheep, so they were probably a little smelly. But they were, these shepherds, they were considered to be sinners, a despised class of people in that time. And yet, these men who were at the bottom of the cultural and social totem pole, these were the men to whom God first announced the best news ever. These shepherds. It's interesting how God gives priority to humble, lowly underdogs. And then in a grand display of light and sound, these lowly shepherds had a front row seat to the most awesome heavenly choir. And what was their initial response to this choir? Well, it was, to the angel himself, it was terror. They were terrified. They'd never seen anything like this before. And then it became joy to their ears, what they heard. And what was this news that brought them this great joy? Well, it was the news that the long-awaited Messiah had finally landed, that he was here, that he had arrived. Now, most likely, these were Jewish shepherds. And they, for their entire lives, had been waiting for the Messiah to arrive, to come. Their whole lives. And actually, their nation, the Jewish people, had been waiting for the Messiah for 2,000 years. That's a long time to wait. Since the time of Abraham, they had been waiting for God's promised Savior. And so now this heavenly host announced the Messiah's arrival to these men who were working the night shift out in the fields. And so what a joy they heard that night. I don't think you and I have ever experienced the kind of, we haven't experienced what those shepherds experienced. We haven't experienced that great delight because we've never seen angels before. But if you stop and think for a moment how your heart felt that day that you finally heard and understood the good news of the gospel of grace, the news that Jesus had come to save you from your sins, and it was personal. Do you remember the joy you felt in that moment where it finally clicked? Do you remember what it was like to hear the message that was really music to your ears? For me, I was just a teenager. I had grown up in church all my life, but yet in that moment, I can remember it. It was like scales came off my eyes and earplugs came out of my ears. I finally heard the good news and it made sense to me. And I wanted salvation. This message of good news will cause great joy for those who hear and receive this word of salvation. So I'd encourage you in this season, maybe even today, stop and remember what it was like when you heard that good news for the first time and the joy that it was to your ears. Apparently, that joy that the shepherds felt not only impacted their ears, but it also impacted their feet. Listen to what verses 15 and 16 say. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They not only heard the news of the good news, but they were convinced they needed to go and see and find the good news. So they left their sheep. Maybe they drew straws. Who knows? Somebody maybe had to stay behind, or maybe they just locked up the pen and headed on into town. But it says that they hurried. Maybe they ran. Maybe they ran into town. We don't know. But they rushed to search for this baby. How long did it take them to find him? I don't know. The scripture doesn't say. But they searched until they found him. It seems like there was a little extra pep in their step as they went to find this good news in the town, in the streets of Bethlehem. So, joy in the feet. That's what it looked like for them. What does joy in the feet look like for us? Well, I don't know about you, but I see it every day in my house. So my daughter, Journey, little four-year-old, almost seven. Actually, she's almost 12, it seems like. No, but when she is excited about something, she has something that brings her great delight. Her usual response is, the emotion, the joy, it just erupts in her and she cannot stand still. I don't do it very well. But she bounces up and down. Sometimes she waves her arms, but there's a lot of bouncing in her being when she is filled with great joy. She's bursting at the seams. And if we're going to go somewhere that she's excited about, do you think that she walks to the car? No, it's an all-out sprint to get there. She hurries off. She runs until she gets there, and then she probably does more bouncing around in the car. There's uncontainable joy in her being. It'd be nice if all of us could have a little bit of that energy that four-year-olds have. So my question for us, though, as adults and some kids, does the truth of God's salvation still cause joy in your feet? It should, because when you grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ for you, you can't help but have a smile on your face and a little extra pep in your step. I pray that we would all have that childlike faith, that we would see Jesus through those eyes once again. We can be so thankful for His grace and His love to us. And so if today is a day where you need that kind of joy, I'd encourage you to ask Him for it. Pray. The Lord gives good gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is one of them. Well, that joy came to the shepherds' ears, it spread to their feet, and ultimately that joy found a way to penetrate their heart. Verses 17 through 20 say, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It seems as if these shepherds not only heard it, but they received this good news. Why can we trust that they believed and received this good news? Well, they went and told others about the Messiah's arrival. Did they understand the cross and the resurrection that was to come? No. They didn't have the full picture of the gospel like we have. But they believed what they did have, and they trusted the Lord that this baby, this unexpected child, that he was the Messiah. They took God at his word, and they trusted him. And then they shared that word and that experience with others. This was evangelism, proclaiming this good news of what God had done. We also know that they believed this good news because they then glorified and praised God for it. They heard the truth of God's word. They saw the experience of and experienced God's faithfulness. And they gave God the glory for it. It's similar to what we do when we publicly testify of God's grace and mercy in our lives. We give God praise for what he has done for us, what he continues to do, how he's faithful. And so for us this morning, I'd encourage us to think again and remember what God has done for us. And then may those things, those markers of his faithfulness, may they be treasured like Mary treasured them in her heart. So what do you treasure? Jesus would later say something along the lines of, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Of course, he was talking about money and the danger of making that your treasure. But in all reality, Jesus is your treasure. He's the only one that can bring you lasting joy. He's worthy to be glorified and praised by lowly shepherds and those who sit on thrones and everybody in between. And so this Christmas season, who is it that you can tell about this good news? Maybe you tell them in a conversation. Maybe you tell them about this good news in a letter or an email or a Facebook post. Maybe you tell them about this good news through a gift. But remember, as you tell his story that has transformed your story, may your story be filled with great joy, joy that's from the heart. And be sure to give God the praise and the glory that he deserves. This Advent season that we celebrate is not just a time for traditions. It is a time for worship. May we worship him from the heart. 301 years ago, Isaac Watts wrote one of your favorite Christmas hymns, Joy to the World. It came out of his meditations in Psalms 96, 98, and Genesis chapter 3. And in his lyrics, you will see and hear the good news of the gospel. He writes, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. He writes, "Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ." Which is really just a fancy poetic way of saying, hey people, sing to the Savior. Employ the songs that you have and sing them for His glory. And then why? Why should we sing songs of praise? Well, he says, because all creation, fields and floods and rocks and hills and plains, they're already singing and repeating the sounding joy. So let's join in the chorus of creation. Praise His name. In verse 3 of his hymn, he exhorts us to let no more let sin or sorrow grow, or thorns infest the ground. Which again is a reference to Genesis chapter 3. He says, He comes to make His blessings flow wherever the curse is found. In his final verse, he declares that Jesus rules the world with truth and grace. And through His sovereign plan, He makes the nations prove two things: the glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. And so this is good news. And so may it be a joy to your ears again today. May it be a joy that spills out through your feet. May it be a joy that is a treasure in your heart. This joy, He has a name. His name is Jesus. To God be the glory. Great and awesome things He has done.